Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
But with that, we're actually celebrating Advent, which if you're not like familiar with church, it's actually the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. And so we began our Advent series last week, and we talked about hope, because Jesus, the word Advent, it means the arrival or the dawn of something. And so we highlighted last week that it was the dawn of hope for humanity. And so so we have these candles that my lovely wife made for us. And so we lit the candle because we says that hope was initiated with the arrival of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And remember, we said we talked about the fact that that hope, it's actually the anchor for our souls. And so we have a confident past that we can look back to, that Jesus said he would die on our behalf and get up the third day, and guess what? He did. And so we have the sure foundation that we can reach back into our past and let it be the anchor. But as well, we have a future hope. And so please, I don't mean to start off my talk this way, but if you're not a Christian, I got bad news. Like, this is as good as it gets. But if you are a Christ follower, this is as bad as it gets. And so we have this future hope, and these two things anchor us to a present hope that we can walk in. Actually, it's supposed to be a hope we walk in that people ask us for the reason why we have such an indwelling hope within us. And so that's kind of what we touched on. And this week, remember I told you guys I was a bit of a pyro growing up, so I'm really enjoying this. So the next thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about, make sure this is, where's a peace? There we go, right on the end. And so this week we're going to talk about peace. Let's see if it keeps going there. And so we're going to talk about this. And so I need to distinguish biblical peace from kind of the peace of our day, and that is this. Like, peace, usually we just consider a lack of conflict, which is true, but it's incomplete in biblical peace. Biblical peace means this, that there's nothing lacking and there's nothing broken. And I just want to ask you this and see if we can be honest. Would there anybody say that here today that there's nothing lacking in your life and there's nothing broken in your life? Anybody? All right, so a few of us. And then even doing that, it's a little bit scary to raise your hand, because you're like, oh, but it could be taken from me in a moment, right? You just kind of feel like we're all just a little bit afraid, that anxiety. Things are going good. I don't know if it can keep going like this. And that's actually going to prove my point, because the reality is that here right now, man, peace can be fragile. I shared this story. Forgive me if you've heard this already. I only have one life, so... But tomorrow is the day, annual day, where Cassandra, my oldest daughter, and I, we go Christmas shopping for Mama. And it's an all-day deal. We get up early. We geek it up. Christmas songs going nonstop. I will probably rewear this, all right? And we're going to go out and make it happen. We need to carb up, so we head to Original Pancake. She's going to get the chocolate chip pancakes. If I'm really feeling backslidden, I'll get this this apple baby. It's like an upside-down... apple pie, for breakfast, man. But it's Christmas. We're into it, man. And so I got to brave the mall after this. So we're doing this. So about 6 years ago, we're doing it. We do the original pancake, and we're just having at it. I think Mariah Carey was like bopping on the Christmas songs. And so we're really all in, until suddenly the car in front of me locks up its brakes. And I mean, like, and suddenly a giant deer runs into the road, and this guy, boom, hammers this deer. It goes flying in the air and lands in front of our car. And so this poor thing is dying a slow death. My daughter's like, Dad, and she just buries her head, and I'm like, oh, this is terrible. And this poor thing is dying, and so I'm trying to like get around. But you guys know you can't unsee something, right? But Elf, at the end of the day, it's just about what? The restoration of family. He's reconciled back to his dad. Home Alone is not about like dancing around and a kid living. It's about bringing family back together and the longing when we're separated. It's about, how about this, finding true love. I told you my wife and Pastor Dottie, listen, don't judge me on this, but I've been watching the Hallmark Channel. It's the same show over and over and over again, and I can't get enough of it. And so it's this idea of what? True love. Someone's the one in all these different things. And what? It's tapping into this idea of shalom, someone that we could share our life with naked and unashamed. And then there's this idea, too, of just living a significant life. Like, we want our life to matter. And so what is that but Scrooge and just kind of It's a Wonderful Life, all these different things. And so it taps into the longing for peace. And here's what I want to tell you. Listen, we're a church. This has got to be good news. The good news is God sent his son, Jesus Christ, the first Christmas. And because of his coming, now suddenly peace, it becomes possible for you and I. But I want to tell you this. The last Christmas, when Jesus comes again, that's when peace will become permanent in our life. And so I want to show a brief video, if I could. See if we can tee this up. See if you've seen this before.
Robin Hood and Little John walking through the forest, laughing back and forth at what the other has to say. Reminiscing this and that and having such a good time. Oodle-lolly, oodle-lolly, golly, what a day. Never ever thinking there was danger in the water they were drinking, they just guzzled it down. Never dreaming that a scheming sheriff and his posse was a-watching them and gathering around. Robin Hood and Little John running through the forest, jumping fences, dodging trees, and trying to get away. Contemplating nothing but escaping, finally making it. Oodle-lolly, oodle-lolly, golly, what a day.
So I'm sure you've probably seen that commercial before. They actually filmed it in 2015. I believe it's currently the most shared video ever. And here's the reason why I say that to you. See, the reason why we love that is not just because there's cute animals, but did you notice there is peace, there is shalom. So can I just give you a trailer of the last Christmas when Jesus returns again? The prophet Isaiah gives us a look at it, and he says in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6, he says, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." See, friends, that is the last Christmas. And so we long for that. And Christmas, right now, there's the hope that it'll be there for us. If you have your Bible, let's go to Luke chapter 2. If you don't, it's going to be up on your screen here. And I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It's a very familiar Christmas passage. And then I want to talk about it a little bit. So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says this. It says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus and all the world that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius, I'm guessing, was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." And so I just want to stop there. And then as we're reading this, have you ever just had these moments when things just aren't what you expected? Like, have you ever, like, talked to somebody on the phone, you've never actually met them, and you get a picture in your mind of what they're going to look like, and is it ever right? Like, just never right. And so we had one time, this is back in 2009, it was the Super Bowl, it was being held in Tampa Bay, and myself and the Oakland Raiders chaplain, along with Kenyon Coleman, he was a Jets D-back. And as well, we had Tim Brown, is a Hall of Famer. Unfortunately, he went to the University of Notre Dame, which we despise. But he's a Christ follower, so we can be reconciled in Jesus. And so we went down, and also with a Christian rapper, Deezer D. And so the idea was, as we go down to the inner city around Tampa Bay, and we minister to the kids in the high schools there. But I got to be honest with you, there's also a little hook before you start christening me a saint, is what the Raiders chaplain told me. He's like, bro, they are setting us up down there too. Like, we're staying at this palatial estate down there near Tampa. He says, we have our own chef. He says this, that there's a stocked fridge in this place. There's a pool. There's a workout facility. And so I'm like, well, for the Lord, I will go and suffer these children in the inner cities. And so, but here's the deal. So we get there. So the chef, I promise you, I'm not embellishing or anything. The chef is a woman in her early 70s that lives in the neighborhood who cooked up a crock pot of chili. We are like five dudes living in a place. That is not a good item on the menu. And so she brings that to us. That's the chef. Then the stocked fridge, it's filled with Gatorade. And Deezer D, this rapper, is like, oh, man, I love orange Gatorade. He gets the Gatorade out. He hits that thing back there. And he's like, this Gatorade tastes funny to me, man. And so we look. All of them are expired. So they stock the fridge with old stuff. And then the palatial estate, I literally was sleeping in a converted garage, and the pool was above the ground, and the water was green. Not Caribbean green, algae gross green, okay? And so that was kind of our whole trip right there. Like, it wasn't what I expected. And, you know, when we read about the coming of Messiah, it's not what you would expect. And listen, we've spent months going through our Old Testament, and there's this epic buildup of a Messiah, a Christ, an anointed one that is going to come and rescue humanity. And so where is this Christ to be born? Is he going to go to Rome? Is he going to go to Jerusalem? Where does he go? He goes to Bethlehem. So just for you and I, it's kind of this romantic idea of Bethlehem. Most scholars agree the population of Bethlehem at this time is 300. So I had to Google, like, okay, what's the smallest city in New Jersey? So it's Corbin City, New Jersey. Anyone been there? You haven't, because it's 492 people. And so our smallest city smokes Bethlehem, and that's where God chooses for the Son of God to be born. How about this, too? Who's this Messiah going to be born to? Is it going to be a queen like Esther? Is it going to be maybe this fashionista like Lydia who helped start the church in Philippi? Nope. A 14-year-old peasant girl. That's the one who's going to give birth to the Christ. And then, I don't know if you heard me, I didn't stutter or stumble. I didn't say he was born in a mansion. I said a manger. And so my daughter rides horses, spent a little bit of time in barns. I do not want to be there for the birth of my kid. All right, it's dark, it's cold, it's stinky, and this is where God chooses for his son to go. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. He says this, it's from the Chronicles of Narnia, and he says this. He says, in our world, something was born in a stable that was bigger than our entire world. And so that is the truth. And so who was born in this manger in a stable? The Prince of Peace. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Like, can I give you the reason for the season? You won't see this on a Christmas card or anything like that. But 1 John says this, the reason why the Son of God was born into the earth was to destroy the works of the devil. How about that? Christmas, it's not this little sweet thing. It's like Jesus, it's go time. And we're going to drop the gloves over this. But as well, he didn't just become to rescue us and destroy the works of the devil. He also came to rescue humanity. We're going to read a familiar verse, John 3:16. It's like the only verse I have memorized in the Bible. If you've ever been to a football game, you know it. But I think it's important that you read the rest of John 3:16, the verses after it. And so it reads like this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him, listen to me, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And so what we just read, what the scriptures just said this, is that we're born into condemnation. Like, I grew up Catholic, and we're very familiar with this idea of inherited sin. Some people would call it inherited guilt, that we're born under the condemnation and the wrath of God. Like who knew that AC/DC was right? We're literally on a highway to hell, all right? And that's what it is. Even if you look at pagans that worship other gods, isn't it amazing that everyone knows they need to come and they need to sacrifice in order to be right, to placate the deity? Because we all understand that there's this, we're separated from our, we're born in iniquity. I love what George Whitefield says this. He says that the reason why the bird screeches and the dog snarls and the wolf howls is because that they know we have an offense with their maker. Isn't that crazy? So I love that. And so, but get this, but through the Prince of Peace, through Jesus Christ, he's going to come and he reconciles us back to God. That that he takes on the condemnation on our behalf. And so I love this quote. It says this, that the Son of God became a man that men could be sons of God. Amen. And ladies, he's talking about you too. For the record, we have to be called the bride of Christ. So we're it's even. So and so the incarnation, the first Christmas, like Jesus has these humble beginnings. Like, I don't know how much lowly you get. I imagine, like, maybe you didn't grow up with much money, but I'm guessing you weren't born in a barn. And yet Jesus takes this lowly approach. And here's why this is so powerful. It's because you and I, we serve an empathetic and a sympathetic God. And he knows what it's like to be us. And so here's what I need you to, like, feel this with me. And I hope this is a safe place. Like, there's a guy on our team. I won't say any names or anything like that. But a guy got on my nerves on our staff. All right? And it's not Shino. All right? So let me get that out of there. So, but there was someone on our staff between all the churches that just bugged me. And every time he said, he aggravated me. And I'm like, oh. And then we did this exercise where is that okay? Is that too honest? So son of a nutcracker. So we're sitting around. And then we started sharing what was the most difficult obstacle you've overcome in your life. And I heard this guy's story, and it broke my heart for this guy. And I, you know what? I love this guy so much now. Like anything, I'm just always filled with compassion, empathy, and this is what God did. He walked in our shoes that he suffered, and so he has this empathy and this sympathy for his people. I had this vision of God with this big angry guy with a beard ready to club you if you said a bad word or something, and that's not the God of the Bible, all right? And so let me go on and read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. It says in verse 8, it says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased.'" And so I want to just drill down a bit on this idea. It says the announcement when Jesus came, when the angels are announcing the coming of the Christ, they says, this is good news. Peace to you. Shalom to you. And he says it's good news for all peoples. All peoples. And so I want to just dwell on that because I think Christianity, we get kind of this bad knock out there in the culture as being kind of bigoted and small-minded. Listen, the Bible is true. It says that the door to salvation is narrow. It's through Christ. But here's what I want you to see, that while the door may be narrow, the invitation is unbelievably broad. All peoples. This is good news for all of you that want to receive the peace of God in Christ Jesus. And so there's not a type of person that God's looking for, but he invites all of us to come. And can we agree we're all very different? Like I was busting my man up, Paul in the back there. Do you believe the audacity of this man to wear a Giants jersey here to, like, it's almost blasphemous as I wear an elf one before us. But Paul and I, we would be like real different, you know, Jets guy, Giants guy, that type of thing. He's like this outdoorsy guy, like everything. This dude is like crazy about hunting and killing poor little innocent defenseless animals, all right? And so, in fact, when he heard a deer got hit when my daughter and I were out, he wanted to know how big the rack was on it, okay? And so that's Paul. But here's what I know, as different as we are, man, Jesus loves him. Jesus died for him. You know, there's another guy who got Hack, Paul Master, in the back. I would bust on Hack a little bit. So Hack and I, we couldn't be more different. Hack was this guy. He grew up. He was in like a biker gang and the whole thing, man, with the big beard and the ponytail and that kind of stuff. And can I just say, like, when he shares his testimony, I got to tell him because he's got a G1, a PG, a PG-13, a rated R, and a you better never say that in church ever. All right. And that's kind of his testimony. I've always been like a rule follower, that kind of scared of, you know, I'm going to get in trouble and that kind of thing. And here's this amazing thing. God loves that man. And he loves Jesus. And God reached out. Let's just do it in this room right now, okay? Like, because if you just think, man, I don't know if I fit into this Christian thing, I got news for you. How many people were born in another country, in another nation? Look at that. All right, take a look around the room. Okay, here we go. How many grew up in a Christian home? Okay. Now, how many in a non-Christian home? Okay. How about this? How many parents grew up you had both parents in the house? All right. How many with a single parent? Okay. Let me do this. How many grew up wealthy? Okay. The one guy in the back's with the BMW is like... Sorry. So how many grew up middle class? All right. How many grew up like below middle class, poor? Okay. Now this one, I need you to just look right at me. Okay. Don't look around. Any Republicans in here? Democrats? All right. Don't look. All right. Just stay here. And then here's the last thing. I want you to see this too. Anyone have addiction, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, promiscuity in their past. I got both my hands up, okay? And so here's what I just wanted you to see. We are all over the map, and we're not even that, it's not even that, you know, big of a section here, and here we are. We can see that there's not a type of person that Jesus is after, but he loves all people, and it's good news for all people. Here's what I want to show you. And like, anyone have like family that you kind of like, you got some issue back in your genealogy or you got just weird people. You know, it's funny. You don't know you have a weird family, until your spouse informs you and you're like, you know what? That is weird, you know? And, sorry, mom, dad. But here's what I just want to show you. The lineage of Jesus Christ. The book of Matthew, it begins with the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Like the opening thing from your Old Testament to the New. Matthew hits you with the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And while most of the time when we get to the genealogy in the Bible, we just kind of flip through it. Like, all right, it's like reading the phone book, so let's just get through that part. But I need to highlight some things in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And here's what it is. Let me read for you. Verse 3 of Matthew will say this. And it says, and Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And so here's why. I just want to stop and let you see the lineage, the family line of Jesus Christ. Judah, his name means the praise of God. Sounds like he'd be an amazing dude. He was not. In fact, his kids were so wicked that God had to kill them. I don't know how bad you got to be in order to do that. God kept killing all the sons of Judah because they were just so depraved. Tamar was married to the sons and to the next son and to the next son until finally there was no one to kind of give her a child. And so what she does, she dresses up like a cult prostitute and she goes and Judah, her father-in-law, solicits her, thinking she's a prostitute, has sex with her, impregnates her, and then they go back. Well, months later, they can see she's great with child. Judah's like, she's screwing around on one of my sons, and so here's what's going to happen. Let's burn her. Let's set her on fire. Like, these are in, you thought your family was messed up. And then she has to inform them, yeah, you know what? I did get knocked up by somebody, and it was you. Judah's like, my bad, all right? And then there's another one. How about Rahab? Rahab is in the family line of Jesus. I'll read it for you. It says, and Salmon, why you would name your kid that? The father of Boaz by Rahab. Now, Rahab wasn't dressed up like a prostitute. She was a prostitute. She ran the brothel in the city of Jericho. You have Ruth. Ruth, I can read about Ruth, Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. And if you don't know about the Moabites, that the Moabites actually became a people when Lot had an incestuous affair with one of his daughters, all right? And that's where they come from. And so if that, you're like, oh my gosh, please stop. That's my point, is that like all these people had all these messed up lives. And so first of all, I want to know this. So what's your problem? What have you done that's outsinned the grace of God? If he can work with these people, I got news for you. He can work with us. And so that's good news for us. God's not after perfect people. He's a perfect God who uses kind of broken up people, and he's in the process of making us more and more like himself. And so I don't, in doing that stuff, I'm not trying to minimize sin. What I'm trying to do is magnify the cross of Christ, magnify the Prince of Peace and how good he is. And so I just want to take 1 second in this, is that as I look around this room, see, here's what I know, is I know some people like Ernie and Larry, I'm sorry, I'm going to embarrass you guys, is when people look at your family line, they're going to see you two, and they're going to look back and go, something happened back there, as I see like your family and God impacting your family. Ryan and Tiffany, same thing. We're going to look, and you look, and you see, well, God did something back with these people back here, and it changed everything. And listen, I'm including all of you. If I could just take time and do names, that's the vision, that we look in God, in our brokenness, he saves us, and now things don't have to be the same, all right? We can change the next generation just by living our lives before Christ. And so that's what I wanted to appeal to us in. And let me just go on with this, is because we have peace with God through the Prince of Peace, now we can have peace within. Here's what I want to tell you. First of all, is this, like the commandments of God, you know what they're really all about? Like, I used to think God's just kind of, once again, an angry old man, and he says, just do it because I said so. And it's just not true. It's he tells us to do these things that we might be able to walk in peace. You look like you don't believe me this morning. So Psalm 119, verse 165 says, this great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I've been doing this for years, but you can try this. If you don't believe that this is true, what I want you to do is I want you to take the next 2 weeks. We can converge at Christmas Eve, and I want you to do the opposite of the Ten Commandments. All right, just do all that, like murder, lie, adultery, all that kind of stuff, and then let's come back together and let's see how peaceful your life is. All right, and then here's the other thing is psychologists would say this, that all of us are born with what's called the imposter syndrome. And what it is, it's this low-grade fear that I'm going to be found out as a fraud or a fake. In other words, it's like, oh, I'm not as smart as they think I am. I'm not as funny as they think I am. I'm not as nice as they think of him. And so there's this low-grade fear. The Bible would say in Genesis chapter 3 that they call that guilt and shame. And remember when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, suddenly they went from naked and unashamed to suddenly guilt and shame, and they run from God, and they cover up for each other. And we've been doing it ever since then. And so the good news is we don't have to, because guilt and shame, it makes peace in your heart, in your life, impossible. And basically, if I could just, this is an oversimplification, but guilt and shame, there's like kind of two ends of the spectrum. One is you just try to numb it, and so you feel guilt and shame, and so what do? You try to numb that feeling, and so you'll dive headfirst into alcohol and drugs, sex. Maybe it's something more acceptable, like you'll become a workaholic and all these different things, but all that so you don't have to feel the guilt and shame in you. And what'll happen is there'll be this low-grade self-hate that you'll just begin to spiral down. And then the other side, I got some type A folk where you're like, I'm not going to numb it. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix myself. The only bad thing is we're not very good at fixing it, at fixing ourselves. And so you'll do really good for a while, then you'll mess up and you'll just nosedive, but then you'll pick it back up again. You'll hear a good sermon and then you'll try it again, and up, down, up, down, up, down. And it's just this exhausting ride that the Prince of Peace doesn't want you to be on. I guess there's another category, too, that what you feel guilt and shame, and so what you begin to do is you just point out all the junk in everybody else. So the people, they look at their junk so you don't have to look at your own. And so may we not have any of those people in our church. And but here's the deal. So if you feel that guilt and shame on your life and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, here's what I want it to have a different response. And we respond in worship and thanksgiving. We respond in worship and thanksgiving. And so Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, he was a guy who struggled with like guilt and shame, and the devil would kind of reek into that and would play games in his mind. And so when he's feeling condemned, the devil would just kind of pile on him. But Luther, when he had a revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ and the Prince of Peace, he began to switch it. He used it against the devil. When he felt those things, he just let it overflow into worship. And so when he would feel condemnation, he would confess his sins, and the devil would be like, "You can't be a Christian because you did this, this." And he would tell the devil, he'd be like, "You don't know the half of it, devil." He says, "I'm way worse than you know." And he starts saying all these things, and then he would go, "But how amazing is Jesus Christ that he still loves me? How powerful is the cross that it could absorb my junk and my stuff?" And so my appeal to you is this, to relate to Jesus Christ like a man and not like a woman. And before the ladies start, so here let me explain it real quick. So here's what I know. So men, like how many guys know that guy that you just married way over your head? Anybody? We got so you know. Okay, first of all, husbands, you all should raise your hand right now. Jeez, God. So that's what we do is like you tell a dude, "Man, dude, you're funny looking and you got that hot girl," and you know what he's gonna say? Right? High five. That's amazing. But if you go to a girl and you tell her, "Oh girl, you outpunted your coverage, man. You know, babe, like you really married up, you know," and that is not a compliment to her. She is not gonna like that. But you and I, we approach our relationship to Jesus, right? We're like, "Yeah, I know, I got issues, man. How great is Jesus that he loves me? He's knit his life to me." And so that's the good news of the scriptures. And the first Christmas is all about this offer of peace.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.